It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
It's going to help out Tori this morning. She's back from maternity leave. Baby Michael is here. Chunky is all get out.
All them rolls, best rolls I ever made.
I wanted to pinch those cheeks, I just got to say.
He's got some cheeks.
So, you know, she's had so many questions about babies as she's come back. And they actually had a recent survey, asked parents to name the most useful things they bought after they had a baby. The thing you've been talking about this morning was on the list. It was number 4, and it's a good diaper.
Yes.
A good diaper for the baby.
Specifically the overnight diapers. I'm having a really hard time with that. It keeps peeing through, like, every single night, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, so you're saying he has a problem with bedwetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the age of 3 months.
So, you know.
Like, grow up already, Michael.
Now, I did call her out and say, maybe be the person that put the baby diaper on him. So,
You know, I feel like I remember having that problem whenever Quinn was a newborn, but I don't remember if we had some magic diaper that fixed it or if we just did a lot of laundry.
I don't know. I was looking up that they have these liners that kind of like maxi pads that you stick in the diaper.
Oh.
I'm tempted to just stick them all the way around. Like,
I am surprised because the stuff they have now to absorb is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like it'll take 3 or 4 days worth and absorb it all.
I mean, you've had an adult diaper on, right? It works great.
No.
Never mind.
Yeah, depends. I got
you. I will say our dogs, they wear little diapers around their wee-wee. and they it amazes me how full that thing can get without leaking.
Well, and that's the thing. It does, but I feel like it's coming out the sides.
Yeah,
because that's where you see the little wet spot kind of on his hip.
Yeah.
Tighten it up until his legs turn blue.
I wouldn't take any advice from Hawk.
I'm teasing. You know I am. But you know what? The people are searching for the correct diaper. That's one thing that the parents are looking for. And along the same lines, good diaper bag.
Okay, you said she had mentioned one, but that's not the only thing she mentioned.
What
she
was
bought.
The other thing I forgot?
She bought an app.
Oh, that's right.
For her phone.
Yeah, baby app.
Yeah, I figured you'd be so proud of me. First app I've ever bought in my entire life.
How much was it?
I don't know. $3? Okay.
That's my wife.
Wow.
How much was that, honey? I don't know.
What was the baby app? What does it do?
It's called Glow Baby, and it keeps up with their, like, potty changes. It keeps up with their food, their vaccines, their food. Wait, I already said food.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like a mommy reminder.
Yes, because my brain is nothing.
All
it is
right.
Much.
Do we need a diaper, like a something that tell you when he pottied? I'm like, you want to know that?
No, you have to keep up with how much he goes so that you can make sure he's getting all the nutrients. Let me tell you, when I birthed Michael, I think I birthed my brain because it has left the building.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
That's
can't
common.
Keep up with anything.
So. I think pregnancy brain and postpartum brain is a real thing.
Yeah.
All right. Survey. Parents, name the most useful things they bought when they first had a baby. A baby monitor was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't have that much longer ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember whenever Quinn and Sam were babies, we would watch our neighbor's baby. Because the channels were all like, there's only 3 channels, so you would pick up the other kids too.
Yeah. Also, baby gate for the stairs. If you do have any steps, you don't want the baby crawling up.
True.
The baby,
so. Of course, again, when we were kids, we just friggin' fell down the stairs.
That's what's wrong with us today. Sleep machine was mentioned. Because it helps them fall asleep. And along the same lines is a mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still making those? We had those when we were kids.
It goes above the crib, obviously, and keeps the baby occupied. Scott, you think about us as adults. I mean, we have our cell phone that we, you know, watch while we fall asleep. And then you wake up and it's on your chest. And you're like, oh, it's not charged all night long.
Or it wakes you up because you fall asleep and you drop it on your face.
Yeah. True. Quite frankly, I'd like a little baby mobile over my head. Be nice.
I know this is silly, but you got to start thinking soon about which device you're going to get him. Because like we had our kids on an iPad at like, you know, a couple of years old. It was amazing how they learned that so quick. Although I will say, looking back on it, I wouldn't do it the same.
Also, baby thermometer was mentioned. I guess the little ear thermometer or the other one.
The other one. Yeah. You got to have that one. Because if you call the pediatrician and you tell them that you use the thermal one, they're like, that ain't the one, girl.
Yep. I'm glad they don't have those for adults. And then baby bouncers or little, you know, baby chairs where they like go around the kitchen on the rollers. And
we had one of those. It was more of a bouncer than a roller.
The bouncer was great, but I'm like, my kids would bounce so high they'd hit the doorway. You know, I'm like, because they'd be get going. You know, get a lot of exercise, and before you know it, he's crying. What's going on? It's like he hit his head.
Maybe you should have kept him away from the door.
That's true. Yeah, but that's the way you hang those on the little
door. Oh, we didn't have one of those.
Oh, you didn't have one of those?
No, ours was, like you said, with the rollers. Oh, it would roll around and go places. Mm-hmm.
Mine couldn't. It was like a bungee jump cord in the doorway. So you might want to think about the roller ones.
Get the roller ones.
Yeah.
And, of course, I know you're thinking about baby-proof, and I know he's not there yet, but a couple years, you got baby-proof.
Most people baby-proof pretty quickly, though.
Yeah.
Just so they don't have to do it later.
Oh, well, failed that.
I did that with the redneck clay. I like, you know, bread ties around the little cabinet door things. Took me a while to get them out. But you can actually buy those things, and they're worth investing in. The bread ties,
I would recommend getting the baby one for sure.
Yeah, I can't get those bread ties open.
I know. Starved to death.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
All right, I want you guys to hear a band. And we do New Music Fridays, but this is a little earlier. Well, and I want to share this with you and just get your opinion on it. They have over 500,000 followers on social media.
Wow. Okay.
And the band is called The Velvet Sundown, and this is just a little taste of what they offer, so you guys can get your opinion on it.
Soothing.
You don't have to give your opinion until they're done singing.
Sexy.
Flicker lights on silver sand, marching ghosts with no command, velvet boots on mirrored ground, drums of thunder, distant sound. Promises in static blue, echo loud in silent room, float away, don't close your eyes, smoke is written in the skies, sing the lie they made you learn, let it burn, let it burn.
Wow, okay.
Almost has a feel of like Pink Floyd, the Beatles, some of the classics.
I was just thinking, I would like to listen to that in like a room with purple shag carpet kind of thing.
First note I heard, I was like, this is an LSD trip.
Okay.
That's
so
what I
very,
thought.
Very strong Pink Floyd, yes. I think, feelings there.
For sure, because I didn't even know what they were saying. It did not make a lot of sense to me.
Did he say marching goats with no command?
That's what I thought, yeah.
I don't think that's what it said. I'd
marching
have to look
goats. That's what I thought. It said the very one of the fans. I'm like, what's marching goats have to do with anything?
Well, it said something about mirrored sand, so I don't know if you guys heard it right or not.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, they are just blown up, and they've released 2 albums in 15 days.
Wow, that's
impressive.
Good grief.
And I mentioned that Pink Floyd and Beatles and all that. That's because they draw from all of those as influences. In fact, they draw from every band ever as influences because they're AI.
Oh, it's not
this
a real
is
person?
Not a real person. It's not a real band.
Man.
It is over 500,000 followers right now, and it is an artificial intelligence band.
Are all the followers marching goats?
Yeah.
I think
just heard that. I'm not sure. This is kind of freaky because we talk about all the places that AI is going to take over jobs, and I don't think people thought of musicians as being one of them.
Yeah, imagine going to that AI concert.
Well, it would be a lot different than Milli Vanilli back in the day.
Well, I know, but still, I'm like, you're going to watch nothing?
Maybe we watch people, and they're lip syncing.
Well, it wasn't long ago where, was it Prince or Michael Jackson? They were doing the holographic.
Right. They still do that.
So
Whitney Houston, all the dead celebrities.
Could be that. Could be something like that.
Although, as long as they show up on time, I'm good.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan, we went and saw him.
Oh, my goodness.
He was like 2 right, hours
granny.
Late. I was so...
Talking about LSD, that's probably what he was doing, and that's why he didn't get out on stage.
And then he gets out there, he's like,
why would you go see Bob Dylan?
John.
Your husband's a fan. But
oh my God, I thought he was dead.
There is one catch to this. The AI keeps coming up with songs that use the word echoes. Some of the song titles are Echoes Through the Pines, Floating on Echoes. Dust on the wind, not in the wind. The wind still knows our name. Dust and silence. It uses a lot of the same words over and over because it gets into this repetitive thing.
But so do a lot of the celebrities. Right. Some of their songs, it's just copy-paste, copy-paste.
You know what? I wonder if they did that with all, like, the rappers out there. And they said, okay, we're going to AI all the rappers for a rap song. It would be nothing but beep, 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 like Morse code. Because all the beeps you can't say on the radio.
It would be interesting to see what you got when you mix or mix a lot and, like, Dr. Dre Pitbull all together.
You know, but Nelly.
This is kind of terrifying because that was not a bad song. And it's, you know, these people got fire. This AI has got 500,000 followers already, and it'll probably grow.
I mean, people, you think about it, they don't care as long as it's good music.
Well, like, and we started it, I mean, with auto-tune, so people didn't have to actually be talented anymore. It was all about the performance.
That's T-Pain. So, oh, T-Pain. Helped us out there.
You went from there to now you just got a complete computer and you skipped the person part.
But the thing is, T-Pain can actually sing really well. Like, yeah. He's a great voice.
I was going to say, even if you get me singing and you use auto-tune on me, I don't think that's going to help. So you have to have some natural ability to begin with.
You'd be surprised how far that can put you in tune.
I'll be honest. I've been to church with Stacey, and I wish it had auto-tune for those songs she's singing.
That's horrible.
You know what? Since then, I've never sang out loud.
Wow.
She just lip-syncs at church, right?
You should feel pretty bad about yourself,
I feel horrible. Feel horrible, but I've saved a lot of people.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, I had an incident the other day. You know, the self-checkout. First of all, I have my issues with it. But somebody was just getting in my space. And I'm like, you know, what are the rules with that? Because I'm like, you're way too close. Like, sometimes when you have a clerk there, maybe they can help out a little bit. But I was in that, you know, self-checkout.
This happens in TJ Maxx a lot, too, when I'm plundering in the last little, when you're in the aisle kind of thing. And people come stand up on top of you, and it's like, scooch back while I'm sniffing these candles.
Yeah.
What's someone doing in your space when you're doing self-checkout? That's weird.
Because I'm sitting there, you know, you're trying to scan everything, and then they get a little edgy, and they walk up a little bit more and a little bit more, and I'm like, come on. I'm like, I already have trouble doing all the work myself.
I've never had anyone do that. Maybe I'm not taking as long.
Yeah, could be.
I was going to say, is it kind of like tailgating when you're on the road? They're just, if you, they stand closer to you, you're going to check out quicker?
Rule is 4 feet is the distance you're supposed to stand behind somebody that are in line.
Maybe there's a rule on how long you should take too, though.
Yeah. And we should now carry measuring tapes because if you do feel like someone's close, you just get the measuring tape out and sound a minute.
Here's what you do. You do like the food separator. They should have one of those for the people standing in line, too. Just put it on the floor, a little food separator.
Stacey, you said, oh, is that going to make him go faster? It's not designed to. The only reason you tailgate, the only reason that you get up on someone like that is to irritate them.
Yeah.
You want to bug them as much as you're being bugged by them.
Here's the thing, though. It makes me nervous. And then I am like paying more attention to what you're doing, so I'm messing up what I'm doing,
exactly.
And I'm slowing everyone down.
That's all right. Is that we know we're bugging you, and it's getting you back for bugging us.
You breathe on their neck.
Okay, that's a little creepy.
Well, what I love to do for the tailgaters is I see them in my rear view, and I'll wave. Hi. I see you
and
there.
They're thinking,
and
then why don't you
really
go around the car?
I know, right?
Well, no, whether you like it or not, you have to stand in line a lot, and they did some research on this. 97% of people say they would never dare strike up a conversation with someone else standing in line. I thought that was high.
That's really high.
Because I would talk to somebody if I'm standing in line.
Oh my gosh, last time I was in Home Goods, this lady next to me, I now know where she lives, that her son-in-law moved in with them. He's got two kids, and they have a dog, and they live in a ponded area. Like, there's a big pond.
I don't know that much about my next-door neighbor.
All right, so what do you do when you're passing time while you're standing in line? You got the candy to look at or the magazines or like when you are at TJ Maxx, you got that long line. They know what they're doing right there.
And why does the line suddenly start to move when I find something good? I'm like, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. I need to make sure I like this. Hold on.
80% of people admit they pass the time in line by criticizing other people waiting in line in their head. So they are judging people.
That's how I pass the time my whole life.
Okay. They admit to criticizing the other people waiting in line. I said that. Okay. They 75% confess they pass the time by eavesdropping on the shoppers in their conversation just to pass the time.
I love it. Yes. I'll be like, no, he didn't. Speak a little louder.
Girl, don't let him treat you like that. Come on.
And then suddenly you're like, you should leave him. Woo! That was out loud.
here's a good one for you. 66% of people admit that they judge others in line by the clothing or the items they are buying or they're about to buy or shopping for.
And if you're shopping with my mom, it's not always in your head because sometimes I'll be like, Ma, look at that outfit. And she'll be like, which one? Like, mother.
Okay, but they're standing there and they got this outfit that they're going to buy. You're judging that. I mean, you might judge the clothes they have on, like, you know, Tom.
Why wouldn't you judge what they're going to buy if you're going to judge what they're wearing?
I guess so.
The same thing.
Yeah. If what they're wearing is bad, you're just going to help them make another bad decision with what they're buying. Now, I have done this where I've walked up to people and if they're holding something like that's a really good color on them, I'd be like, that's a good color on you. Just to reaffirm, like, you're making a good purchase here.
Wow, so, that's nice of you.
You volunteer that information to them?
I think I'm the type of person that will just talk to anybody.
Oh, okay. You're going to look great in that blouse.
Yeah,
do you warn them if it's a bad one? That's going to make you look huge.
I don't think she would. She's too nice to do something like that.
If they have two articles, I'll say, that one looks really good. So it'll just make them think about
more. Oh, the other one. That's not.
And then 90% of people said they were most annoyed by people in line holding a place for their friend or their spouse.
You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So your spouse, you can.
Okay, but you think about it. And I've had this happen to me before. I'm in line. You're at the grocery store. And you think, okay, there's one person in front of you with one item or something. All of a sudden, here comes Sally with her whole grocery cart. You're like, I wouldn't have stood in this line if you're going to come in with your whole grocery cart.
See, I'm thinking more like when your mom gets to the line and she realizes she's like, oh, I forgot the milk. And she'll ask you to go get it. So then you're sprinting through Walmart trying to get there.
Yeah, right, Tori. This is what husbands are for. They can stand in the line while we continue to shop.
Yeah, because if you send the husband, he'll be like, where's the milk? I'll be like, in the grocery section. He's like, left or right? I'm like, never mind. I'll just go get it.
I'm with Hawk. You need to have the basket there so you know how many people you got and things you got.
Yeah, that's why you judge that line, you know? And Tom said that's his gift to the world, is picking the wrong line every
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. If you see me get the line, get in the other way.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I don't mean to judge, but you are probably doing this wrong, and you've probably already done it wrong this morning. Brushing your teeth.
Ooh, yeah. I disagree.
Turns out a lot of us are, and you disagree on everything, Tom.
Well,
so tell me why.
I go to the dentist, and they give me very big instructions on how to do it, and I try to do it that way.
Do you? Okay. Well, some people don't. Apparently, a lot of people don't. They ask dentists to weigh in on the top ways or top mistakes that you make while you are brushing your teeth.
I can tell you one I used to do wrong. I used to push too hard. I would go and I would be like, my bristles would all be splattered out afterwards because I mashed too hard.
Brushing too hard is the number one thing that people do. It's bad for your gums and probably isn't helping your teeth either. The tip of the bristles do the cleaning, but brushing hard makes them splay out, is what they call it. It's splaying. Yeah. And that applies also to your electronic toothbrushes.
I was at the dentist, and she told me she has realized that it's a personality trait. Yeah. If you're the type of person who scrubs too hard, it means that you're kind of like anxious almost. Which
really?
I was like, that's true, because both those things are accurate for me.
On my electronic toothbrush, mine turns a different color on the very end of the toothbrush to say it's almost like a, you know, a state trooper pulling you over and you see that little blue light starting to light up. You're like, oh, no, I'm brushing too hard.
Imagine if it had a siren. It was like, whoop, whoop.
All of a sudden, somebody comes up to you and goes, you know how fast or how hard you were brushing? But they say also when you are brushing your teeth, you're supposed to keep your pinky out, you know, when you brush your teeth and do it very lightly. It's kind of like being fancy. And if someone questions you on that, it's like, why are you brushing your teeth like that? Because I'm fancy.
Yeah, I think that helps keep you from pressing too hard.
Yeah,
because you're not using all your fingers.
If you grip it real hard like a baseball bat or like, you know, your fork, you know, if you put your pinky out, you can't grip as hard.
Yeah, but then you drop your toothbrush.
And if you're holding your fork that tight, you might be eating wrong, too.
It could be. So, mistakes we make while brushing, you rinse right after you brush. It washes away the fluoride in the toothpaste, so wait at least 2 minutes before you swish.
I got time. I'm already running late.
Or really, you should be brushing last. They say the best order to brush is to floss, swish, and brush. floss, swish, and brush.
Tell me more about this floss thing.
I got a, we were talking about this the other day, water pick. Those are great, too. You don't have to floss as much, or at least that's my thoughts.
I find that those things are huge mess makers. At some point, you accidentally spray outside your mouth, even if it's in your mouth and it splashes off your teeth and you make a mess.
Okay, and here's another thing, a mistake we're making while we're brushing. Brushing right after eating or drinking stuff that's sugary or has like acid in it, acidic. They say that also includes coffee.
Yeah, you're supposed to actually swish with water first, right, to neutralize the acid?
I don't know. Well, they say it can damage your enamel, so wait at least 30 minutes. Kind of like when you are at the swimming pool and you eat something, you have to wait 30 minutes before you get back in the pool.
Which they later found out was not true.
But if you are leaving for work, they say you do need to rinse with water first, Tori. So that is correct.
I'm doing something right.
All right. You got one right. Okay. And then finally, using the same toothbrush too long is a mistake we all make. Replace it every 3 months, they say, and not just because the bristles wear out, but bacteria builds up. So that's another reason. So if you know, what you need to do is if you are brushing your teeth this morning, just, you know, sniff your toothbrush. See if it smells a little funky. And if it does, you probably need to replace that.
I don't know, but I do think that I probably replace mine more often than that on my own, just because I don't like when they start to even slightly get messed up.
If the dentist gives me one toothbrush every 6 months, then that's that's how I need to. Yeah. If not, give me two, that'll last that 3 month period.
You know, but you go to like Costco and Sam's, you can buy like a dozen toothbrushes for like, I don't know, $8. And I'm just like, they're too cheap not to just get in. I'd almost even get the super duper cheap ones and change them out more often.
Why don't you just brag about it there, fancy pants? You.
I just told you it's like $8 for a dozen.
Well, I switch out my toothbrushes. Well, don't judge us if we don't, okay? If your brush has like different hairstyles to it, like a part down the middle hairstyle, or if it's got laid over to the side comb over.
Yeah, and a little pink tint like you get in the toilet
ring.
Yeah. It's starting to bald.
Yeah. My toothbrush doesn't even have bristles anymore. It's so old. It's aging.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, I know. So apparently some of us are doing it wrong, and one of us in here is doing it right.
Well, there's one of them I didn't agree with, so.
I don't know which one that is, Hawk.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
All right, I'm going to make you feel better about yourself today.
I need that.
I am going to talk to a lot of people right now, and myself included.
Okay.
But if you think your house is a wreck, don't feel bad. You're not alone.
Good.
They asked a lot of people about this, and 45% of Gen Z and millennials said they would be embarrassed if someone saw the current state of their home. And their top excuse for not cleaning was they just didn't have time.
Yeah.
The average person said it would take at least 2 hours to clean their entire place, but then they add another 3 hours for procrastination and the whole thing would take 5 hours.
Yeah.
So they're being honest about that.
Yeah.
One out of three people said the only time they really clean is when they're expecting guests. Otherwise, they just deal with the messiness.
That's where that old saying came. I would have cleaned up if I'd known you were coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have a party. That's when my house is the cleanest.
Yeah. And people will come over and they're like, your house is so clean. I'm like, oh, it's a wreck. Knowing good and well, I just cleaned for 6 hours.
Right.
You know what I do, though, is, and this is a good way to do it, I think, is you take one room. Like, okay, today I'm going to just take one room, because if you try to do all the 5 hours at once to get everything, or I'll do the baseboards like one day, and that don't take as long. And then over time.
It's not rewarding, though, because you do the baseboards and you're like, it don't really look no different.
Anything I do productive is rewarding. Like, you got
to see results. It's like mowing the lawn. You see that lawn get cut and looking good as you're going. But when you do baseboards, you get done. You can't look around and go, wow, house looks great.
I don't know. Depending on how dirty they are, can tell a difference. But pre-baby, I would clean the whole house every single Sunday and then light that candle and sit back and just revel in it. Now that I have a child and he is a stage 5 clinger, I'm like, we will clean itty bitty parts of the house each day.
Yeah. I know, like, when you go by a coffee table, and you know how people write stuff on the back of cars, you know, and your kids, they wrote like something like, wash me or dust me. You're like, okay, it's time for them to get the dust out.
No, they just need to leave little nice notes like, have a great day, Dad.
Yeah.
Just little positive notes.
Well, not everyone's a total slob. 45% or less than half do some cleaning each day, and kitchens and living rooms are the most likely to get it tidied up daily. I can see how a kitchen definitely does.
I do that. I hate dirty dishes or a dirty sink or something in the sink. That makes me feel nasty.
A dirty stove. It makes my eye twitch.
I don't even use my. Are you talking about the on top?
Not, that's the stove.
What's the other one? What's
the oven?
Oven. Okay, I got you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, 31% admitted there's at least one room that hasn't been cleaned in over 6 months.
Oh, longer than that.
Wow. Is that the guest bedroom?
Or the guest bathroom.
Maybe
I forget that exists sometimes.
Because no one's using it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, even when you go in there and you see dust in the bathtub, that's a problem.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
But this makes me feel better. Because I always, now, whenever for Christmas one year, I got my wife, I said, listen, I'm going to get you a cleaner to come in a couple times a month and just straighten things up. Nothing too expensive, but someone to help out. And the first thing that lady said to us, she's like, oh, your house is much cleaner than a lot of them I do. Now, she may say that to every house, but it made me feel good.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. It's like when you have a baby and they're like, no, your baby's cute. And you're like, you say that to everybody.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll take it. I don't care if it's a lie or not. It made me feel better.
So now, do you clean before the cleaner gets there?
My wife does. And she tries to, she's like, oh, Chris is coming tomorrow. Let's clean up. I'm like, that was the whole point. Yeah. Was that we wouldn't have to clean up.
It's like going out and washing your car before you take it to the car wash. That'd be silly.
Yeah, but see, but it's a person coming and they're going to see all of your house. It's like, I don't think I could have a cleaner because I would be freaked out that they'd be like, she is so nasty.
Okay, I'm like, I'm going to cut my hair before I go get to the hairdresser.
You just made me realize why they say that, is they're keeping their job. They don't want to come in and go, your house is filthy. You need to have me. They're like, you guys are really clean. And then you're like, okay, I can keep her coming in.
That little boost of confidence.
She's not saying that we're nasty like I'm afraid.
Yeah. It'd be great if she said that after she cleaned. Like, oh, this place is so clean. Someone does a great job here.
Oh, yeah.
You should keep them on.
I think you just dirty it up. Make her earn that money, you know?
That's what I told my wife. I'm like, that's what we're paying for.
Yeah, it's like when you go to the dentist, you eat a bunch of candy, you know?
You know, I did something at the house yesterday that is actually, I'm going to give you a tip if you really want to do something that makes a difference. I walked around. We had a play gate on the stairs. And finally, we took it down. Pets don't use it anymore. No one uses it. So I was cleaning the wall up and painting the wall there. So I walked around my paint can and just found anywhere there was a scuff mark on the wall. I just painted over it instead of scrubbing it. And the house looks really good and clean right now.
I did the same thing, but my paint didn't match. And it looks like I got pimples all over my walls.
Oh, no.
It's like a little, my paint doesn't match. It's like a little bit wider than in the natural paint. I'm like, oh, I need to take my wall to the dermatologist.
No, that's when you just keep it going throughout the house and you go, we decided polka dots were in this season.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.